to Luke chapter 2, while I read you a scripture that Pastor Jim's preached on the last couple of weeks, out of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So it begins as a child being born to us. This is the promise of the Father. This is the prophetic promise that the Father has given for His people, Israel. But then His people, Israel, have rejected. Even in chapter 6 of this same prophet, he says, their eyes will be blinded. Isaiah is told to go and prophesy to this people, well, you're going to be blind and you will not see. You will not know what's happening in your day. And your blindness will last until... Now we find out that until the Gentiles have come in. How awful. I mean, for the Jews to have the promise of God and then let all the Gentiles in. Yuck! That'd be awful. Why should the Gentiles just give us another chance? No. It's for the blessing of Israel. It's for the blessing of Israel. And the promise to Abraham was what? That in you shall one nation be blessed. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. God desired not to just pick one group, but God desired to say that his desire is that all men be saved and all come to the knowledge of the truth. And here the promise is, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government, the rule, the leadership shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called. Dirty, rotten, cheating, Blagojevich. No, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what His name shall be called. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is setting up a kingdom where everyone says Amen. But today, you and I, that kingdom not here yet. But today, the kingdom exists in me. Today, that kingdom exists right now in me. And that kingdom, as you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, that kingdom exists in you. And you can take advantage of it, or you can ignore it. Because God's promise to Abraham was because he believed God. God made a promise. Hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea. I'm going to give you everything. And Abraham said, well, you know, I don't even know who you are. You got any references? Is that what Abraham said? Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and just let him in. For nothing. Abraham didn't even have to come up with references of his own. Let's see, I'm looking for a good guy I can make the father of many nations. You got any references? You got any qualifications, Abraham? Did he have any qualifications? No. Had no qualifications. Do you have any qualifications? Well, probably more than Abraham. At least you haven't been the leader of the chief priest of some moon god named Sin. I mean, couldn't you pick a better name for your god than Sin? I mean, you know, how about George? Or how about that God that kept falling down when they kept putting the ark in there? Remember him? Dagon? They put the ark in there next to Dagon, this god of wood and stuff, and they put him in there. And the guy, first day, he fell on his face. Oh, man, that's terrible. Let's set the guy that came in the next morning, had to set the guy back up, dust him off. You know, whew. You know, and just sent him next to this box, God's box. So the next morning, they come in, they find out he's on his face and his arms are broken off. I mean, Dagon's kind of a better name for a god, isn't it? You know, sounds kind of godly, kind of godly. You know, but why would you have a god named Sin? You know, Abraham could have chosen better to have a god that wasn't named Sin. That's kind of obvious, you know, that you're actually rebelling against God. But see, God is not requiring anything of Abraham. No references. He's not even looking what he did wrong. He's not even looking at anything. He just went around and he says, I'm going to pick you. Will you believe? Do any of you believe? Now, I know you say you do. You know, especially in here with a bunch of Christians. You know, that way we'll let you go to lunch with us. But God said, do you believe? Say, believe. Something that I was, we were driving to church this morning and stopped and got gas at the whole place. Saw some gal in a, she was driving a little short gal with, you know, didn't look like she had a lot of money. Looked like she was in pretty rugged shape. Had two or three kids in the back of this, it was a Ford Crown Victoria. Paint that looked like it had been beat up and worn out. You know how they all fade, you know. You know those American-made cars? Why we don't buy any more of them? Why they're all going under? Yeah, paint goes away in 2 years. So, I mean, the paint was down on this thing. I think every side of that vehicle had some kind of a hit on it. And it just, Holy Spirit, you know, well, why didn't you give her some money? I don't know. I didn't have any money. But I didn't feel that was what God said, do this. He said, I want you to bless her. And I didn't even walk up to her. I just blessed her. The reason I blessed her is because I believed I heard God. Because I didn't know that anybody else was going to bless her that morning. Amen? I mean, she just looked like one of those kind of rugged people driving an old beat-up car. You know, you kind of go, wow, glad that ain't me. Amen? Anybody like that? Except, man, I'm glad I don't have one of those. I'm glad it wasn't me. But God said, bless her. And you know what? I believe I have authority to bless her because God told me to bless her. Huh? I said, I believe I have authority to bless her because God told me to. And I believe she's blessed today. I don't even know how. But I don't know that anybody else was told to bless her today. Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. I'm saying words with your mouth that Jesus Christ or God your Father told you to do. Well, Jesus would have given her money or healed her or something like that. You're probably right. But what I got was, maybe it was for me as much as it was for her, is that that God has given me authority to bless out of my mouth. And that blessing takes place. I believe that woman's blessed because I was obedient to God. Amen? Now, another time, I may have to, you know, pull some money out of my pocket and go, maybe God's working on me. Maybe that's step one. I may have to pull out may have to get some money when I go in the store. Get cash back just so you can bless somebody. You know, if you're like me, you don't carry much cash around these days anyway. You know, everything's debit cards. You know, you do that so your kids don't get any money off of you. Who said amen? Yeah, you walk around, you know. See, that's where Pastor Jim missed out, you know, on all this technological revolution. I think he carries cash around. But don't tell anybody I said that. Nah, he's usually out of cash, too. Anyway, but, you know, that way you don't have any cash to give anybody. And they believe you. So it's true. But God was looking for somebody to believe him. And in that moment this morning when God said that, you know, I believed him. It wasn't like I hope so. It was like I believed him. that when I blessed that woman, she was going to be blessed. There wasn't any evidence of it. It's just when God spoke to my heart, just like when God spoke to Abraham, why did he believe? You know, why did I believe when God spoke to me? When God shared something with me, why did I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? Why did I believe that? That's strange talk. But here he says in Isaiah chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end." Of the increase of his government and of peace, both, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from now even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform that. Now, what does that mean? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The power of the Lord of hosts. The zeal is, if you want to say, the excitement. I mean, you know, we talk about the zeal. It's like zeal is like, yeah! I mean, you know, it's like the Cowboys should have had zeal last night. And they had none. Last game in Texas Stadium, thing fell flat on its face. Glory to God. Shot my pride. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, the zeal of God is doing it. It's not you doing it. You know? Nick, it's not you. It's Jesus. But you know what? He lives in you. And He likes to move around. He likes to do stuff. And you know what? He's moving in you. He's moving you in your house, in your family. He's causing you to be a model of Jesus. Now, don't look too close, everybody. I mean, Charlene, don't look too close. But God is transforming your husband. It's amazing. But it's not him. It's the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts comes because you believed God. It's because you believed God. It's not because you did something right, fixed up, got changed, finally got it right. It's not because you finally got it right. It's because you believed God. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It's not because, you know, that you're better than the next guy that God picked you. No. It's because God saw the end from the beginning, that this guy's going to believe. You know, had nothing to do with it. He just saw the end from the beginning. Look over at Luke chapter 2. See, God has set the whole thing up. He set the whole thing up. You know, He knows everything that's going to happen tomorrow? Huh? I said He knows everything that's going to happen tomorrow. You don't. But you know, when you wake up in the morning, you can rejoice and know that God knows everything that's going to happen tomorrow. And thank Him, because He sees the end from the beginning. He's with you, and you come in, and you begin to believe God and say, "Lord, I thank You that You love me, and I thank You that my feet are guided by the Lord. My mind is guided by the Lord. My ears are guided by the Lord." And as we look at Luke chapter 2 here, and look at Matthew chapter 1 or 2, excuse me, things you just don't ever remember. If you saw it before, you just come back to it and you go, "Wow, I didn't realize that. Didn't even think about it." Our whole Christmas play and story is actually a combination. Y'all probably remembered this. I didn't. It's a combination of two Gospels. Luke does not have the wise men in it. Our teachers probably remember this more than I do. Is that because you're teaching those stories line upon line, you know, week after week, is Luke does not have the story of the wise men in it. The wise men are back over in Matthew. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So all of these things, you know, we've got to, you've got to have it all together. And it came to pass, Luke 2, this is after after John had was growing up, and this prophetic word that was given by Zechariah after the birth of John. And it came to pass in those days, so we switch over to Jesus, and Jesus was already, you know, on his way, already coming, had already been conceived. And it says here, in the past, came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus being, of course, the emperor of Rome. And Rome having authority over the area of the Holy Land, Jerusalem, at this time. So Jerusalem was no longer the kingdom that it was. There was no longer a kingdom in the days of Jesus. As you know, it was ruled over by Rome. And so Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. All the world. Imagine that. Imagine taxing all the world. Who would have such an idea? Unless you had some kind of United Nation thing. Imagine that. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So that part of the requirement was everybody goes to the city that they're born. Boy, you talk about getting some airline tickets sold. You know, you talk about getting some travel expenses. Now, if you're into travel business, I bet you could make some money. You could rent some donkeys and really make a killing. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Now, I don't know, did anybody, any of y'all see the show that came out a while back, The Nativity? There was a movie that came out. It came out the same time, I think the Luther movie came out, and the Gospel of John movie came out, and The Nativity came out all at the same time. Or maybe it was the Gospel of John. I can't remember. And they made a long bit about the journey from where they were going to Bethlehem. And they did not make it in the middle of the winter. I think they made it in the middle of the summer or something. And it was, man alive, that was a heck of a trip. And I don't know if anybody else went with them on this trip. It was just Joseph and Mary sitting on a donkey, 8 months pregnant. And it was a heck of a trip. And so, I mean, here we just got it in one verse. But, I mean, that was more... Lori, you would not have liked it. It would not have been good traveling across West Texas or going to, you know... I guess Norman would have had to gone to Tanzania. How'd you like to ride a donkey to Tanzania? Yeah, right. Bet. 8 months pregnant, though. Well, I guess when you got three kids already, it's probably not any worse. Yeah, it'd be like Rome, traveling all over the world just to pay taxes. Wouldn't that be fun? When you got a big God. And so Joseph went there, and five, to be taxed. I said, why did you make this trip? What purpose of trip? To be taxed. With Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And first of all, just... when you're doing this, when you're living in the world, government and taxes. You know, God has perfect timing. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got perfect timing. We complain about God's timing. Amen? Anybody ever complain about God's timing? Or you just don't even act like it's God's timing. You just figure, it's just happened. And I'm mad. And I'm mad about it. You know? God knows what's going to happen to you. I didn't say He caused it all. But we live in a world where the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Amen? If you've heard the news recently, the economy's in the tank. Amen? Are you excited about that? Good man. That guy's making money off this downturn. This appears to be the only one in the room. God is good. He loves you. And are you trusting that He blesses you right now? Begin to do it right now. Begin to trust that God loves you and He's blessing you right now. He's taking care of every one of your needs. Well, my IRA went down 100%. Hallelujah. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills too. And the oil under the hills. And the gas under the hills, which gas price and oil price just went in the tank too. Hey, it's okay. God still knows how to make money. He does. Amen? God knows how to meet all of your needs. Hallelujah. When Janet said she was quitting her teaching job, we just said, praise the Lord. And you beat up your head and your I don't know what that is in you that goes when money goes out the door or when something happens that's going to take out of your pocket. There's an organ here or something that just doesn't it just makes you feel bad? Makes you want to puke or something? When you feel it. Isn't that, you know what I mean? It's that one little thing where it's like somebody stole your wallet right out of your gizzard. I mean, it's actually a physical feeling that you felt like where somebody stole from you. You know, it's been stolen from you. How many know God supplies all you need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? That feeling is because you depended on this world or you depended on your own wallet to make your provision. Amen? It's true. That's the reason that feeling comes, is because it doesn't... Because when you fail, or when this world fails, you depended upon this world and it got you. It's like getting shot with a .45. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that feeling in your gut where somebody took something away from you. That's this world. That's the flesh. And I have the same thing. But I want to say this. I believe God. Lord God, I want to not have that circumstance take place. I want to have that gut-wrenching feeling gone. I don't want to be trusting in my gut. I don't want to be trusting in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm determined to trust You and not the world. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You that I trust You and not the world. When that thing comes, begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Don't let that's like guilt. That's another one of those things like guilt, when it comes in, it's insidious. It'll grab you and it'll bring you down and it'll not let you go, and you'll be just suffering under guilt because of something that you've done. God said, confess it and it's over. Same thing with these dependencies upon this world, whether it's medicine, and doctors are fine, it's cool, don't worry about it, or if it's money, and now don't steal from your neighbor, and don't steal from the bank. You know, that is not okay. And don't quit your job. But God is meeting your need. God is meeting your need. He loves you. He's meeting your need. Right now it doesn't look like much. Doesn't look like it's all there. He's meeting your need. He loves you. He's caring for you. Here, Joseph is traveling across the desert. You know, it's not much carpentry work out there. He's traveling across the desert, and he doesn't know how long he's going to be in town, in, you know, the other place. He's just trusting God. And you know, how many know you can kind of ostracized when it appears that your family is not measured up to the local standard? Huh? I mean, Mary's obviously, everybody in town knows that Mary and him ain't married yet. And it don't look good. And then he's taking her in. He's keeping her. Well, that's another knock in the head. I mean, imagine that. I mean, this is a disgrace as far as the natural is concerned. Yet he's trusting God. He's hearing God. He's trusting God. Listen to me. Trust God. Hear God. So he's gone to be taxed, and God's going to put you in the right location. Amen? He knows what the government's doing. He knows what's happening. And he also knows that he's going to put you in the right location. How come we got to go to Bethlehem? You know, I haven't been there in years. I don't want to go back there. I left there. But now he's got to go back there. God's forcing him back there. Well, you know, he's not looking at, you know, a lot of the time we look at things that it's not God that's doing, it's the government. Well, I'm mad at the government. Why don't you just quit complaining so much? How many know you complain a lot? Huh? Quit complaining so much. Just go to God. Complain to God. God! But then, and so God, tell me what you think. And he said, he'll tell you, I think you ought to rejoice. Because I know what's going on. Huh? How many know God knows what's going on? How many know God knows the government beat you up? How many know it's a long trip to Bethlehem? And I don't want to go there. God says he knows where you're going. He knows what the government's doing, and he also knows where Bethlehem is. So she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in his verse 7 in Luke 2, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, nuts. We go to Bethlehem, and there's no room in the inn. There's not even a Motel 6. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. An angel said to them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, now you could do a whole sermon on that, but I'm not going to. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, how many know angels don't sing, they just say? You sing. Angels, they just say. That messes up the Handel's Messiah, doesn't it? And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning Christ. And they all had, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the who? Shepherds. Who's going to listen to a shepherd? It's almost like listening to a guy who lives under the bridge. Okay? In the time that we're talking about. It's actually Old Testament. You know, before Jesus died and rose again. It's like listening to a guy who lives under the bridge. You know, in other words, it's somebody who just really didn't have a lot of credence, you know, when you're announcing something. He wasn't like Tom Brokaw, you know. He wasn't even like your local pastor. And a lot of people don't listen to me either. Even here. But he said, all of those that heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherd. God's got his own witnesses. He knows about the government, and he puts a location wherever he wants. Then he provides witnesses to what he's doing. Now, it may not be the witnesses you wanted to hear, but he's providing witnesses. So when you're hearing from the Lord, let him have his own witnesses. Amen? It may not be the witness that you're impressed with. Huh? It may not be a witness that you're impressed with, but God will provide a witness. God will provide his witnesses to you. And, you know, I love it because the angels, like I said, you know, people don't like Christmas for one reason or another, you know, and I know it's all commercial and blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is that, hey, if God celebrated, I'm for it. I'll celebrate. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. But God's providing witnesses so that you know God has spoken. Like this morning, see, Larry's talking about his aunt, or his wife's aunt, and then, you know, we're sharing about Joe this morning. There are witnesses to give instruction and give wisdom and to give a testimony to what God has said, a testimony of what God has already decided to do or he wanted to tell you to do. You know, there's a confirmation. You know, well, we ought to go visit Joe. Well, more people ought to go do that or encourage and just in the body at large. And, you know, the testimony here, you know, is powerful. But you had to almost squeeze it out of the guy. He said, praise the Lord. Then we had to come back around and he said, hallelujah. Then finally, he comes out with he gives birth, you know, to the word of the Lord. And so, you know, God is providing witnesses. And I'll tell you something this morning is that each one of you are witnesses. Now we're talking about the testimony of the scripture here with the shepherds. Maybe somebody thinks of you as a shepherd. Yuck. Amen? Somebody thinks of you as not too reliable. Amen? Anybody ever felt like some people just didn't look at you as very reliable? You know, God can use that. God can use you. He'll change. He'll show you up. Anybody heard about the donkey that talked? Remember? How many people listen to donkeys that talk? Hey, brother, bless you. Thank you for being here. Hey, you know, how many listen to the donkey that talks? Maybe they should have had one of those in the manger, but they didn't. I don't know why that guy didn't show up in the manger. Not the same donkey? Well, God can do that, you know. I think God should have had the talking donkey. Can you imagine those shepherds at the donkey and said, hi guys, welcome. Let me introduce you to Jesus, Son of God, right here in the manger, charging 5 shekels, you know, to come and see Jesus. But God is going to use you as a witness. He's going to use you as a testimony. Right here in this building, you know, who looks at Larry? I mean, goes, eh. One of the deacons. You know, praise the Lord. Or, you know, Craig crying out loud. John. You know, witness of God. Who's going to listen to him? God's going to give him a word. God's going to give him a word. And he'll speak the word. You're obedient to speak the word that God told you to do. The shepherds could have just sat on the hill and said, ah! But they went into town. Go into town, you know, go see. So God said, let him use you as that witness. God's providing witnesses, and you know what? You're some of them. Amen? The question is, like Abraham, do you believe? Or do you believe in yourself? I'm nothing. See, a lot of times you believe in yourself, and the thing that you believe in and of yourself is, I'm nothing, and I can't do nothing, and I can't be nothing. No, the truth is that God gets to use you however He wants to. Amen? So you, what you do is you go before God daily. Say, Jesus, use me the way you want to use me. Because I belong to you and I don't belong to me. Use my mouth. And I don't care what I look like or who I look like, who I think I am. It doesn't matter because I've been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been bought with a price. I've been changed. I've been transformed. It has to do with believing God. And, you know, what about my sins? Well, God will take care of those. Amen? You can't even fix those. God will show you your sins in due time. God will show up your sins in due time. Here's the thing. Go to God daily. Thank Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Let Him do the cleaning. And in the meantime, you're going to be used of God. And the world will be changed. Your world right around you is going to be changed because you just believed God and just allowed Him to do what He was going to do. Amen? Same thing is true of Joseph. Joseph didn't have this big worldwide vision, even though your son that your wife is having is the Son of God. All Joseph had was waking up the next morning. You know, nobody really has anything more than that. Unless you're Barack Obama, I guess. They come in and bring you tea or something in the morning. But I mean, most of us, you just wake up the next morning and keep going. Right? And it just seems like kind of a humdrum existence. How many know every day is the day that the Lord has made? This is the day that the Lord has made. You wake up every morning in the kingdom of God. You wake up every morning in the kingdom of God. God has a new plan every day. God has new, His mercies are new every morning. And it may not be just mercies for you. Maybe there's mercies that come from you. There are mercies that are perpetuated because you showed up. Because God showed His mercy. You are a vessel of the kingdom of heaven. Just like Joseph, just like Mary. Mary doesn't need to be worshipped, venerated. She's just obedient. Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you said, that's me. Joseph didn't want to do it. He was going to put her away quietly. But God said, don't. No. You go ahead and take her. You do it and do the next thing I tell you. Angels confirmed it to the shepherds. The angels confirmed it. It's a pretty big confirmation. Keep reading. And all they that heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen it was told them. And now when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, Jesus, to present him to the Lord. To the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they said, just coming in, come to church. Just coming to church. How many of you just, you know, came to church today? Come to church. What are y'all doing? Well, we went to work yesterday, went to the thing, and Sunday, I guess we're going to church. So Simeon, so he's telling you the story about Simeon, okay? He's telling you his history, that he was told that he would not see death. So he just keeps coming to the temple, keeps coming to church. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not die. Well, you don't know when you're going to die. Of course, I'm guessing he's been doing this a long time before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the Jews, then he took him in his arms. So by the Spirit, he was led that day. And he took that child in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to light. This is prophecy from the Old Testament in Isaiah. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Well, how many times do you think that scripture's read in Jewish synagogue? A light to lighten the Gentiles? How about beating up the Gentiles and us being king? Now let's read this scripture. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Everybody gets blessed. It's a promise to Abraham. It's the promise to Abraham. In you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And Joseph and his mother marveled. Well, didn't they know? Didn't they know all this stuff? You know, after all, the angel appeared to Mary. The angel appeared to Joseph. But, you know, they're just having a baby. How many know the angel and didn't appear to Joseph and Mary every day? He appeared to both of them about 9 months ago. And that's about the only thing you think of. Scripture doesn't say that he appeared to them nightly and, you know, told them what was happening the next day. Basically, he appeared to Mary, told her she was going to get pregnant with God's baby, and she did. But Joseph, all he got was, hey, it's okay. And 9 months before, and then they have this baby, and then 8 days later, now this is really the kind of the next thing that shows up. And that wasn't the name of an angel, it's just an old guy. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I'm always going to go back and look that up in the Greek. Because so many of the new translations in that verse right there, 33, says, and his father and his mother marveled. I got to go back and check it out. How many know the word Joseph as a proper name and the word his father as a description, as a noun, are not probably not the same Greek word? His father, or is it the name Joseph? It's probably not. There's somebody not right there. But here he says, it seems accurate here. Because how many know who's Jesus' father? God, thank you. So you wouldn't say, and his father and mother. You could say his presumed father. And so Joseph and his mother, that thing just stands out to me. I thought I'd tell it to you. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That's a long time. A widow of 84 years. I think 84 years old is what she's talking about. which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, right on the heels of Simeon's prophetic word. See, God provides His own prophecy fulfilled and has a report of it. Amen? Simeon, Anna, when he comes into the temple. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of Him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city in Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Flip back over to Matthew chapter 2. So you got the local government, you got God's location, you got witnesses, you have confirmation, have prophecy being fulfilled. One thing's kind of being missing is persecution. Now we're not only talking about what happened to Jesus, but what happens to you. Amen? You got all this world happening all the way around you. All the world, all the trouble, all the problems, all the issues of living in this world happening and are on top of you. But you see, God, through His Word and through His provision in Christ Jesus, is making provision for Jesus in this story, but He's making provision for you because you are the testimony of Jesus Christ. You are the Word of God. The only reason you're here is to demonstrate the gospel. You know, I told some of you when you got married that it wasn't about your marriage as much as it was about, this is a testimony to God. Your marriage, your family is a testimony to God. The marriage, and it doesn't mean everything was perfect and everything went smooth, but what it does mean is because you believe God, your marriage and your family are a testimony to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's why you're here. That's why marriage exists. Why? Ephesians 5. Marriage shows the relationship between Jesus and His church. And that's what your marriage is all about. It's not about making it in this world, making it to the end, and having enough money to retire on, and making sure your kids make it okay. But it's a demonstration. That's why marriage cannot be between, you know, two men or two women. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's a revelation of the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church, the bride and the groom. And that's what your life in this world is all about, is a testimony of Jesus Christ and His church. Here, now further, as a demonstration, is chapter 2 of Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, there came wise men from the east. Besides persecution in this story, there's provision. God's provision. Amen? I said amen? We'll get through this if you'll help. It's God's provision. God makes provision. A lot of time it doesn't look, you know, where'd all that provision go? It was here a minute ago. God will always make provision. Do you believe it? I said, Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you. So in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Uh-oh. There's a king of the Jews in here besides me. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. It looks like somebody studied the scripture. For thus it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Micah 5:2. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him too. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young where the young child was. How many know God wasn't scared? It didn't say the star when Herod asked that question that they went out and there was the star and it went the other way to protect Jesus. Now the star didn't go the other way. You know, it wasn't okay. Let's fake them out. You know, go stand over Caesarea or something. No, God just took them straight over there. Following the star, took them straight over there. How many know God knows how to protect His child? How many know God knows how to protect you? God, you're leading them right to me. Put out that star. Turn that light out. You crazy? So when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, I think this must have been a little, it didn't say the stable, so it was a house by then. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, with his mother, or Mary with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed their own way, departed into their country, into the way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and says, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy. So he's giving wisdom. You'll need wisdom. You'll need wisdom. He gave the wisdom to the wise men. He gave the wisdom to Joseph. What to do when trouble comes? Spend time in the presence of God. Spend time in His Word. Don't just cry out when trouble happens. You know, help! No. You're just ready. You're ready. You're ready. You're ready. Because we're spending time loving the Lord. Let God, remember what I told you a couple weeks ago, let God in your hideout. Don't be afraid to let Him in. Oh, it's cluttered up. Oh, there's all kinds of trash in here. Invite Him in. Invite Him in daily. God, come on in. Doesn't matter if you hadn't cleaned up yet. Let Him in. Ask Him in. Jesus, come in. Come on in. I need you to come in here with me. Stay in here with me. Talk to me. I love you, Jesus. I thank you that you love me and you forgive me. I've just really been lousy. You know? I didn't even pray real good today. I didn't pray all the 8 parts of daily prayer. I only prayed the first one. Petition. Isn't that the first one? Oh, that's the 6th one? You mean I forgot to give thanks? I forgot to praise you? I forgot to worship you? I forgot to confess my sin? And I forgot to confess my righteousness? And I forgot to pray for others? And I sure didn't commit to anything. But I did pray for myself. 1 out of 8 is not bad, right? 8 parts of daily prayer. I got one down real good. But just listen, know that He loves you. He does. He thinks you're great. Amen? Did you know God thinks you're great? He loves me. Oh, man, He's crazy. He's out of His mind. But God loves me. Yeah, it's funny because Janet doesn't think so. No, she doesn't think I should think so. Right? I mean, how many of your spouse doesn't think that God ought to love you quite as much as you think He does? Come on, you ought to straighten up. You ought to stand up straight. At least act like your pastor. God will give you wisdom. Just come in and talk to Him. Amen? Hey, listen, I want you to talk to people, okay? I want you to talk to each other. Encourage one another. Amen? Huh? In fact, I want you to call somebody who's not here this week and encourage them, build them up. Amen? Don't chew them out. Don't make them feel guilty. Just, hey, I just had you on my heart, and I want to just call you and bless you. Amen? Just call somebody this week that you don't see here today. Not so we can have a big crowd, but so you can learn how to be a blessing to somebody. Amen? Not just be tied up in your own little deal. All right? Last couple of verses here. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And when there was death, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, verse 16, before Herod died, though, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding angry, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had inquired of the wise men. Let's see, how old do you think that kid is? Okay, everybody under 2. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. God is good. He's providing for you in every circumstance, even when there are enemies, even when there's death. God has called you out of this world. He's called your name. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He loves you. And as you believe, and as you give yourself into His presence and His Word, He is transforming you, He's cleansing you, He's changing you, He's getting rid of all of your sin. He's getting rid of all your sin. Yeah. You may have had a sin for a long time that God got rid of. You may have had something that God took the longest time to get rid of because you thought it was something else. But it's just you didn't know that He loved you. You were sinning because you thought you were doing a sin, because you liked that sin. But it's because you think that God doesn't love you, so you make up for it on your own. You love yourself. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to comfort myself. Amen? Anybody know how that works? You comfort yourself because you know nobody else will comfort you? Huh? Is that true? Anybody like that? Could be TV, could be food, could be something else. Something more obnoxious. But it's all the same because it's all rebellion. Amen? Some of it you can get arrested for. Some of it you can't get arrested for. But it's all the same thing. It's all rebellion. It's all unbelief. Because God told you, made you a promise, and you didn't believe it. You believed you had to take care of your own self, your own needs. God said He'd supply all your need. Not just talking about money. Hope you hear what I said. He says He's going to supply all your need. Maybe there's something you said you thought you needed. God said He'd supply all your need. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, how many know you don't even know what those are? You think you know what they are. You keep testing things out. See if that fits. You know, see if that fits. See if that works. Uh-uh. God loves you. Say it. God loves me. He loves me. I'm His favorite. I'm His favorite. Y'all don't want to say that. I'm His favorite. That's good. You need to say that. Amen? Because it's just between you and Him anyway. I mean, if you're not His favorite, then somebody else is His favorite. And you're not it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you believe you're His favorite, then you believe you're, it's like that billboard says, I'm second. I'm second best. I know that's not what they're trying to say, but You know, God's first, I'm second. Hey, you know, it's God's mind. You're first. You're His favorite. He loves you. You know, you're His favorite. But so's she. How's that work? Glory to God. Y'all having a good time? Y'all having a wonderful Christmas? Let's all stand together. Woo! Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Hallelujah. And with your mouth open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So somebody else next to you can hear you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you're my King. My God, that you love me. I'm your favorite. You're the God of gods and the King of kings. I believe your promise. And I love you with all of my heart. Father, I pray for these folks. I pray for them right now. I thank you, Lord, that you are transforming them daily into your image through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And Father, that as we testify and as we show forth your perfect provision, Lord God, all things are coming to pass as you have promised. And we worship you. We bless you. Thank you for the coming of Jesus. Thank you for this 2009 coming up. Thank you for doing all things well. And we just give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you all of His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.